This is Karen Downer, and today is November 4th, 2011, and it's approximately 9:15, and I'm conducting an interview with Barb Forrester for Quilters Save Our Stories, a project of the Alliance for American Quilts. Barb Forrester and I are at the International Quilt Festival in Houston, Texas, and Barb, will you tell me about this fabulous quilt that you brought?
Well, this quilt is called Emerald Treasures. It started off from a white background that was painted. The turtles themselves have been built up in a three-dimensional aspect, and they have been embellished with beads and wool roving and dyed cheesecloth. This quilt, as soon as it was made, went off to the to a show, and it placed second in the show. But upon coming back, it got caught in the conveyor belt. And I received this very distressed call from FedEx saying that they had this quilt that was had been damaged. They did not know how much damage had been done to it or what the extent was. And so when I received it, the head of the large mother turtle was decapitated, and a huge chunk of her shell was missing, along with all the beads. And it was disheartening because it had just placed second. I had entered it in West Coast Wonders here at Festival and had just received news that it had been accepted for that. And I thought, wow, what do I do with this? So I put it on my dining room table for the longest time. And I have to tell you, I cried. I cried about it because I thought, well, how do I, you know, what do I do? Do I take it out? Can I fix it? And it took me about 2 weeks to finally get the nerve to put it, get it in my studio and fix it. And it's the first time I've ever fixed anything like that. I was lucky to have the beads, and I reconstructed the whole entire head, stuffed it almost and re-embellished it. And so this quilt has a lot of meaning to me because it just represented a time where, you know, we send our quilts to share with other people all over, and that's part of the wonder and the beauty of being a quilt maker, is sharing with others. But you never realize that they can become damaged in transit back, or even sometimes stolen, and that just kind of grabs at your heart.
So it's magical, and it's already had two lives.
It has.
Yeah. What special meaning does it have for you after having gone through that with it?
You know, I think of this as when you lose hope in terms of, can you resurrect, can you bring something back to life, and you think that you can't, it brings me hope that, yes, I realize that I can fix things again. I can bring something back and have it be enjoyed by other people. It's not that it's just dead and gone.
Certainly not. What are your plans for this quilt?
This quilt is actually at the Copper Shade Tree Gallery in Round Top. I picked it up on the way up here to have as my touchstone piece, but it will go back and it will be on sale and hopefully find a good home where someone enjoys it.
I'm going to move on to an area that sort of gets at your involvement in quilt making in general. Can you tell us at what age did you start quilt making?
Let's see, I started quilt making in 1999. And I have a traditional background. I had a friend who was a quilter, and I really just loved, I was attracted to the texture. I'm a very textural person. And I asked her if she would show me how to do it, and she would not show me. She said, no, you will have to go and take some classes. So I did. I took classes in learning how to piece, and it just evolved from there.
Are there quilt makers among your family?
There are not.
Interesting. How does quilt making, your quilt making, impact your family?
Well, they've received lots of my quilts, and they enjoy that. Now I've been working with art quilts predominantly, and I have given a lot of art quilts away. I donate to a lot of organizations also, the Alzheimer's Art Quilt Initiative, American Cancer Society, and I do offer a portion of the proceeds from my sales of my quilts to the National...
There's so many. I would help you, but...
It's the Wildlife, National Wildlife Association, I'm sorry.
National Wildlife Federation?
National Wildlife Federation, yes.
Right. Oh, and I can see that would make sense. But
I'm very into the aspect of trying to help animals. A lot of my work revolves around animals.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are done in a whole series to commemorate all the sea turtles that have been damaged with the oil spills and everything.
Isn't that interesting, given the story you told us earlier? Right. You told us a story about how this beautiful quilt was almost destroyed. Do you have an amusing story associated with your quilt making experiences?
An amusing story?
Funny story.
Not that I can think of offhand. I do have an art quilt group that I work with, and we have a lot of fun times together and really enjoy each other's camaraderie. We're very supportive of one another. And it can be funny at times, and at mm-hmm. other times it can be very tense. We do work on a lot of collaborative quilts.
Mm-hmm. And so you guys learn a lot from each other? Have you become close in this
journey? Oh, yes. Yes, we do.
Are there any aspects of quilt making that you don't enjoy? You mentioned some tension and some stress. And are there aspects of quilt making you don't enjoy?
We did a collaboration one year with, I think we had 9 members. And it became so, which 4 of us were new to the group. And it was difficult to know how to do that. I mean, we all brought our pieces in and then literally cut them up. We thought they were going to just go in as they were, and they got sliced and diced and re-put in. And that was a growing experience, I think, for some people had a hard time with that.
Oh, okay. What groups are you, what art groups and what quilt groups are you currently involved with?
I am a member of the Art Quilt Group in Austin, Texas, that collaborates with Kathy York and Leslie Tucker Jennison, Frances Holiday Alford, Connie Hudson, and Sherry McCauley. And I am also a member of the Austin Fiber Artists. I used to be their vice president last year. I stepped down. And I am a member of the Austin Area Quilt Guild.
What do you, in your quiet times when you're thinking, we have few of those these days, but what do you really love about quilt making? What does it bring to your life?
Oh, it brings so much joy to my life. I really enjoy the whole process. I paint a lot of my pieces and I dye them. And it makes me happy to be able to create something that hopefully somebody else will enjoy.
And I think you mentioned earlier that you actually dyed everything in this quilt, except perhaps the buttons I'm looking at, the beads, those are beads.
But the background is all painted,
mm-hmm.
and the cheesecloth in the turtles is dyed. The turtles themselves, their heads, their flippers, those are all painted.
It has, I'm sitting very close to this quilt, just maybe 3 feet away. But even this close, it's almost luminous. How did you achieve that luminosity in this quilt, if that's a word? But you know what I mean? It looks luminous. How did you achieve that?
I think with regards to the top of the shell, that is composed of gel medium with art glitter.
Oh.
And paints.
And so what are some of your favorite techniques and materials?
I am a very three-dimensional person.
Mm-hmm.
I love to bring dimensionality to my quilts, so, and I'm always looking for ways and means to do that. I do like to work with lots of different mixed media type materials, and so that was the huge thing, the crossover, I think, from being, from making the transition from a traditional quilter to an art quilter, is that the sky was the limit. We're mm-hmm. not stuck with just cotton, although I use a lot of cotton, but that's not all that I use. Anything is fair game with me.
Technology is so prevalent in the quilt world. How's technology influenced your work, or has it influenced your work?
Well, I do work from photos, so I take my camera. I can often soon be photographing nature, and what I like to do is come home and fine-tune those photos and then prepare sketches from them. So in that respect, it has impacted my work significantly, because it's not, some of my work I will do just out of my mind mm-hmm. without a sketch.
Was this based on photos or out of your mind? It appears to have been based from experiences, is it?
This one was made after coming back from a trip to South Carolina, where there were turtles everywhere. So, mm-hmm. yeah, this one definitely came from photo-inspired ideas.
Okay, do you use a design wall?
I do.
Okay. How do you use that? How does that enhance your process?
I find that it's very difficult for me to work flat on a table in terms of designing, because when you look at something flat on a table, it has a completely different aspect than if it's on a design wall. You don't see things that you would on a design wall. The other way I use my design wall is to photograph things. I do have a website. So it has a, often I'll drape a black piece of cotton behind everything and photograph everything, which makes a nice backdrop.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have lighting that you can turn and angle right at the quilts to have optimal
okay.
lighting.
I want to ask you a specific question about your beautiful quilt. I noticed that your binding is black, and you just mentioned a black design wall. Is there a rationale for why you use a black binding as opposed to the traditional maybe matching of the fabric in some respect? Can you comment on that?
For this piece, I wanted to frame, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to frame it in some way, but I did not want to put a border on it, because I don't think that this piece would take well with a border. So I thought just having a simple black binding would frame it well. And I do like to go off of the edges.
I noticed that. I wanted you to comment on that. It to me, it adds motion. What was your rationale for
the, I just the can't stay in the box.
You can't stay in the box. That's okay.
I have a hard time with that.
Not an in-the-box person. I'm going to move on to a section that speaks in general about aesthetics and design aspects of quilt making. What do you personally think makes a great quilt? In your mind, what's a great quilt?
I think composition has a lot to do with it. When you see something from afar and it just grabs you because the composition is just so stunning, color has a lot to do with it also. But mainly it's design elements. And the composition, the way it's put together, the colors that they use.
The next question has to do with, it's a similar question, but it goes to what makes it artistically powerful.
Well, I think it's something that stops you at the door. I mean, you can see it from afar and you look at it and say, wow, that's just amazing. And it draws you in.
and you're a good person to ask this question too. What makes a quilt appropriate for a special collection or a museum, an art gallery? What makes a quilt work for that?
I think it has to have design appeal. Certainly, I have a collection of artwork that's not done by myself that I have started, and its design appeal, I mean, pieces speak to you, and if you like it, it's something that you have to have. It's, you have to buy it, because you will never, it'll be gone. Mm-hmm. You'll never have that option again. So I do collect, right now, this month, I've collected two pieces, one from Kathy York and another one from Cynthia Winslow.
Are there certain artists whose work you're drawn to?
There are. I'm very very enamored by Holly Chatelain's work. She's just amazing at what she does.
And have those artists, the ones you're drawn to, for example, have they influenced your work in any way?
I have been studying, actually, under Hollis, so yes, she does have some influence in my work. But I don't like for my work to look like someone else's work.
Right.
I try to keep it my own voice.
Talk a little bit about, I see work that must have been done by hand in this quilt, and I see work that appears to have been done by machine. What's your philosophy of hand versus machine and their place in your art?
You know, I never used to do almost anything by hand. Everything was done by machine. And when I moved to Colorado, a friend of mine told me, well, you know, you can't call yourself a quilter unless you've hand quilted something at least a few times. So I took some hand quilting classes and also some beading and hand applique work. And it's very relaxing. And I think that when you put the two together, I mean, I love machine quilting. I think the stitching is, for me, it's much more even. However, combining with the hand stitching just, it gives it the hand. I don't know how to explain that. A quality that marries the two together. It provides interest.
We're going to move to a section that addresses the function and meaning of quilts in American life. Why is quilt making important to you? Not just your quilt making, but why is quilt making in general important to you?
I think it's very important that we continue to educate people, the next generations that are coming up. We want to make sure that our tradition carries on. And we cannot do that unless we educate our youth about that. Mm-hmm. So I think it's very important that we archive everything, that we get our youth involved in different aspects. And it may not be quilt making, it might be beading or crocheting, but all these arts become lost if we don't foster them.
You mentioned, I believe you mentioned you were from New Mexico.
Yes.
The land of enchantment.
Yes.
Beautiful place. In what ways do your quilts reflect that region?
Well, I don't really do southwestern quilts, although I do have a piece that is a three-dimensional adobe Pueblo, and it's in the artist village here at Festival this year. You know, it just, part of it is just the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the landscape of there is so gorgeous that you can't help but want to try and put your spin on it.
In what ways do you think quilts have special meaning, particularly to women and women's history?
Can you repeat the question?
In what ways do you think quilts, have a special meaning in women's history?
Well, I think that from what I understand is, and I'm so much like this, I love using repurposing things. And I think that that is, has been done all throughout history. Women have used pieces of their clothing or whatever to incorporate into quilts. And I think that that is a, it's a wonderful way of upcycling things and repurposing.
How do you think that quilts can be preserved for the future? How can we make sure that somebody enjoys your work 50, 100, 200 years from now?
Well, we want to keep them away from the light, that's for sure. It depends on what kind of quilt it is, obviously. I think the traditional quilts that I've made for beds, they probably should be stored with archival paper in archival boxes, acid-free. For the art quilts, I think that the best place for them is on the wall to be enjoyed. I don't think that anything will last forever, so you might as well enjoy what you have. But you do protect them from harsh elements like light, sun. And I think that they're safest on the wall, actually.
And what do you think is the biggest challenge that confronts us today as quilt makers?
I think trying to have your own voice. I mean, so many times, and this happens in the traditional world too, we see a quilt that someone else made and we want to make that same quilt. And to be able to have your own voice and maybe create something that is similar, I think is very, very important.
I'm going to go off our quadrant questions a little bit and ask you, what do you want to do in the future with your art? What do you want to do in the future as far as making quilts as your medium?
I have been looking into becoming more and more three-dimensional. I love sculpting also. I'm finding that that doesn't have to be, it can be freestanding, but it can also be incorporated into quilts where things reach out. And I have been looking at trying to put in some sensors where, on quilts, where if you walked by, that maybe the leaves would flutter. Motion sensor detectors type things.
Okay. Can you think of any special way for quilts to be used, maybe particularly art quilts? How can they be used to benefit society? Maybe a way that they haven't been used in the past? Do you have any thoughts on that?
You know, art quilts are so, they have been around for a while, but they still are so new to the public. The public hasn't, in other words, when you see them in galleries, a lot of times buyers don't know how to deal with them, how to clean them, how to hang them. A lot of people have gone to mounting them on canvas because that seems more friendly for people to wrap their minds around and know how to deal with that. So I see that there are trends going that way. I'm hoping that we get to educate the public at large in a huge way in the upcoming years.
Do you find yourself returning sometime to your traditional quilt making roots at this point?
I have a few tops that I still need to quilt, and I do like to get things done. So yes, I will be coming back to that and quilting them. They are very large king size quilts, and I do not have a long arm, so that will be a challenge.
Mm-hmm. I want to begin to close now, but we still have time, so we don't have to actually quit. So I want to ask you, is there another story that if someone collects your quilt purposefully or it's given to them, what do you want them to know about you?
About me in particular, I guess I don't really think of it in terms about me. If they enjoy something well enough to want to take it home with them, that just brings a smile to my face.
It's about your product. It's about your art, not about you.
Right, right. I mean, it's a huge compliment for me. And I know this is different, and it goes against a lot of what people and quilters like to do. But it's a huge compliment for me for someone to go up there and want to touch my pieces. Because that means that I have engaged them to the point where they are interested enough to do that. I know that that's kind of frowned upon because you have oils in your hands, but you know, it's my feeling that nothing lasts forever and you might as well enjoy it. And if you can appeal to someone in that way, then you've touched them in a way that I try to do, mm-hmm. that I try to reach out to.
And what did I not ask you in this process that maybe you were hoping would be asked? Is there anything else you want to convey about this quilt in particular, or just in general for the Save Our Stories purposes? Is there something that didn't come out in this brief discussion?
I think we've touched on everything. I do want to emphasize that I really do think that it's so important for us to involve our youth, because if we don't involve our youth, this art will die. And that would be such a shame, because there's so many beautiful things. And there are women that are doing the contemporary art quilters, where it's very different from art quilts in general. They are more utilitarian, but they are done in a completely different way. And I think that's wonderful. Modern quilt guilds are starting up everywhere, all along the United States. And I think that's a wonderful way, because it appeals to a younger generation.
Okay. I'm going to turn to the scribe and ask my scribe here if there's anything that we didn't cover that she's dying to contribute or ask.
I'd like to know if you have any ideas on how to involve our youth in educating.
The scribe asked if there, because she's not mic'd, I'm going to repeat this question. She asked if there were particular ways that Barb involved youth. That is a good question.
To involve youth. You know, I think it starts when they're little. I think parents have a lot to do with it. I taught a Girl Scout troop for many, many years, and we did all kinds of different aspects of that. And I think Girl Scouting is a really good way to begin with the girls. And I know that it's done in the Boy Scouts also. They have done quilts and participated in needlework type of adventures. And I think in the school systems, sometimes some schools are very blessed to have a quilter or a beater that will take time in their lives to come work with the children. And I think it makes it, you just see their faces light up, and mm-hmm. it just makes a huge impression on them. If they're even exposed to it in some small aspect, it grabs them.
I'd like to thank Barb Forrester for allowing me to interview you today. It's just been such an honor, and I've enjoyed learning about you and your quilts. For the Save Our Stories History Project, our interview concluded at 9:45.